How many times have our patients returned to our office and are just stuck in the cycle of chronic inflammation? We throw everything we have at them, nothing changes, and even our dentists are frustrated. Rather than throwing our hands up and shrugging, we need to be turning to PerioTrace by PerioProtect. I have seen the evidence firsthand and have helped so many hygienists find this resource because it really works, which is why there are so many products on the market now trying to imitate them. The results are speaking for themselves, but rather than going with an unproven product, stick with the only periodontal medicine delivery system cleared by the FDA. And not only that, but their support team is seriously among the best I've ever encountered, from the education to implementation to support when there's the inevitable bumps on the road. They are there for you. If you want to get in contact with them to learn more about how you can treat your patients better, head over to perioprotect.com/RDH. And on that site, at the bottom is a contact form that you can fill out or simply email them directly to ask for help. This is one thing I truly believe should be in every dental practice. perioprotect.com/RDH to stop the cycle of chronic inflammation.
Okay, so welcome to A Tale of Two Hygienists. This is Michelle and Andrew. How are you, Andrew?
I am doing great. So happy that episode 13, it just happened. So I'm very happy about that.
It did just happen, even with all the technical troubles that we had and poor Matt.
Why do we always do that? I feel like, that is this age of technology.
I don't understand it. Like, we try so hard to get everything just right. And there's always something. So right now, I think my something is that I'm at my boss's house. I'm in California with Tepe, and I apparently don't know where to get a good internet connection, so I'm lagging. And then I'm pretty sure my mic wire is biting the dust. So, yeah.
It's probably from lugging it across country so many times in your travels, probably.
And I'm probably not like the gentlest person when it comes to electronics and wires. And I'm constantly replacing things. I'm just like yanking them out. Or, I mean, I know this is hard to believe that I can be aggressive, but sometimes I'm a little aggressive.
That's a real stretch right there.
That's why I had to tell you, because I didn't think you would assume that about me, that I that I can be aggressive, and I take my aggression out on electronics. So it probably is my fault, not the microphone wire. But we had some robotic issues and my internet issues. I was trying to do Mr. Robot. Mr. Robot. I'm drinking wine again.
It's, I don't know. They do it on what's that one show with the girls in the morning? Kathy Lee and
Hoda?
Hoda. Yeah, they drink wine, so, you know, it's only fitting.
I feel like that's when I'm my best self.
Okay. So how are you enjoying the weather down there in California? Beautiful sunshine.
You would think.
Like Miami was.
Except every single time that I come to California, there's like this cold snap and it rains. Beautiful, southern, sunny California is never sunny and pretty. It just isn't. Except for today. Today was quite nice, but I did bring the cold weather. In fact, my coworkers that are here in California, they live here, sent me a text message the day I arrived and was like, what the hell, Michelle? I mean, you landed and literally the rain came. And I was like, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, it's been raining up here for... It feels like weeks on end.
I was gonna say, but it rains always, so.
Yeah, it's on Friday it kind of teased us a little bit, and then it started raining pretty good on Saturday again. And it's always wet. Like we go out in the grass, and it's just saturated from days before, and so there's just it doesn't even. I don't know. Well, you know, actually, I started at my new job this week.
Oh yeah, how's that going?
You know. It's going pretty good. I was thinking about the new job because I have these windows now and I can actually see outside. Where before my op was, I'm not even kidding you, it was probably maybe 4 or 5 feet wide and maybe 8 or 10 feet deep, and there was no windows, and it was just terrible. I called it the dungeon.
Sounds awful.
It was dark, and yeah. So now that I have these big old windows, I can actually appreciate all the rain that's coming down. So, but no, the new job's going great. I got a promotion, so now I'm a lead hygienist at one of our other offices. And yeah, I mean, everyone's really helpful. Everyone's really nice. There's a really good teamwork there.
Oh, that's good.
And yeah.
Well, good. So a good move for you.
It was yeah, definitely a move up, a step up, as it were. All right.
Yeah.
So guess what though? I checked iTunes today, and
of course you did. I feel like you live on the stats side of it.
No, well I do, but you know what? I've actually been neglecting the iTunes reviews. We have 5 ratings now, and we're batting 1,000, so we got 100% all 5 stars so far. So thank you, listeners, for that. And also, one of our really good friends of the show, Cassie, she gave us a review, and it was a really awesome, positive review, and we love her so much, and I'm sorry I'm just not getting to it. I think she put it at the end of January. So,
way to be on top of things there, Andrew.
Sorry. Well, yeah. So that's not so great. But listeners, please go rate us and review us. It'll help other people find us. We've had a lot of people from last week's episode start to download.
With Eva?
Eva, she is the best.
Isn't she? I thought you would enjoy that one. I was sorry that you couldn't be there to be a part of the conversation.
Yeah, she, I think she also probably either posted it somewhere or something, because we got a lot of Canadian listeners to download the episode. You know, for that one episode, of course, here comes the stats again.
Okay.
We normally have about 1-5% saturation in Canada, depending on how popular the episode is. For her episode, it was 20% of our downloads were Canadian.
Nice.
So
nice
ridiculous.
Nice job, Eva.
So, thank you, Eva. Thank you, Canadians. We love you, Canada. I won't sing your national anthem because I respect you guys too much. So, you know what else happened?
Hmm?
This week. You don't know it? Oh, Canada.
No, okay, sorry. Yeah. Okay.
Anyways,
yeah.
My brother Mike, the hygienist Mike, that should be a really good handle for him.
Hygienist Mike.
Yeah. Anyways, he started listening to the podcast this week. So
just
as
now.
We were episode 13.
Lucky episode 13, he decides to tune in.
Yeah.
Can I?
Yeah, he's like,
bust
I told him,
his
I
balls.
Said, you know, yeah, well, I said, go ahead and start maybe episode, 5. You know, right where it starts to get really good, because the audio is not great at the beginning.
Well,
and it's still not, you know, where we want it to be, but it's a lot better now than it once was. And so he's just
again.
Like, he told me, yeah. Well, he told me, he's like, you guys need to fix this, you need to fix this, you need to fix this. I'm like, I know, buddy, I know. We're working on it. So,
like,
we'll
every time we take 2 steps forward, we take, 5 steps back. Like, anytime we get, settled into something, we're like, yes, we created a Facebook page. Then good old Patterson comes around and says, by the way, gave you permission, taking it back.
Yeah.
I got jokes. And so, it's always something.
But it'll work out eventually. What else happened this week? Oh, we had a lot of listener feedback this week. It's been pretty crazy. So Ed, who's on this episode today, he reached out to us, and he's a student down in California, right?
San Diego.
And then there's David from. He is from. Hold on. Hold up.
Wait for it. Wait for
Springfield.
It.
I think he's from Springfield, Missouri. Anyway, so he, I think he's a student, and I think he's going to be on a roundtable coming up in the summer. But he reached out to us, so we're grateful for that. He's another guy genist, so 2 guy genists right there. We had Katie from Connecticut, and she asked about the mission trips. Do you remember that?
I do.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. So we gave her some advice, and I think that she's going to probably find, some of it helpful, and hopefully she'll get back to us and let us know if, she found something that was maybe a little bit more her style that we can share with other people. So
yeah.
We'll probably try and get her on the show sometime. And then we had Nadia from Canada. That was one of Eva's friends or listeners or something. And she wrote to us all in French, and we couldn't understand it. But
I sent it to Eva, and she translated it since I couldn't Google Translate it.
Yeah, I sent it to her, too. I was like, I think this is for you. But it was nice that she reached out to Eva through us anyway. So
yeah.
Just again, if you guys want to get in touch with these famous people, let us know, and we'll pass the message along if they won't answer you directly. So there's that. And
Midwinter coming up.
I put a thing on our Facebook page earlier tonight for a meetup. So if anyone wants to meet up with us, just message us through the Facebook page, and we'll let you know where we're at. I think Michelle and I are probably going to be hanging out most of Friday together, probably part of Thursday, but I think we have some commitments already made for Thursday, and we have some commitments for Friday as well, but I think we'll probably have a good 5 hours open. So
yeah,
try and meet up with some listeners. And
yeah, so busy week. Busy
week.
Yeah. Extremely busy week. But
and then,
awesome.
Then you messaged me earlier this week about an idea for a future show on location. Do you remember about that?
Cuba?
Cuba.
I cannot wait to go to Cuba.
So this is what we should do, though. I think that we should have one of our listeners who can maybe go with us and give us and be like, you know, translate for us. I mean, they may have family there or whatever, and they can maybe help get us in contact with some hygienists down there or whatever. I don't know anything about Cuba, but whatever the equivalent is, or maybe some dental places or whatever, and we can do some on-location stuff down there. I think that'd be really, 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 really fun.
So at my last show in Orlando, I met up with, we had a hygienist, or actually it was a dentist, come down, and he was in Trinidad. And had so many questions, and he was like, would you ever come down and teach my staff? And I was like, yes, I would.
Yes.
And I'll bring my co-host.
Yes. As long as we can do lots of episodes while we're down there.
Yeah.
So that'd be cool.
That would be very cool. So yeah. If you are Cuban and in the US and want to, us to come to a podcast in your hometown, let us know.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll be happy to be there.
Very good. All right. Anything else?
I'm good. I'm really stoked for Chicago. That's all. There's going to be some good food there, and hopefully meet up with some more lighthearted RDH people for just some dinners. And I think I'm going to meet up with Lewis Myers, so from American Eagle. So I think that'd be fun. And there's just been a lot of really cool people there, so it's exciting.
Very good. All right, well, we hope you guys enjoyed this episode for our student roundtable, despite the audio and internet issues that we came across. But we're going to break it up into part one and two, because really these guys and girls had such great content, and we had to break it up into two episodes. So enjoy part one of our student roundtable, and we'll talk with you next week. Thanks, y'all.
See ya. Welcome, everyone, to A Tale of Two Hygienists. We have an exciting episode today. We have a student roundtable. With us, we have four students, and we're going to get to their introductions here in just a second. But one of the really cool things about some of these students is they are also listeners, and they've reached out to us. We've reached out to them, and they wanted to be on the podcast. So if you guys have any inclination of being on a podcast in the future, make sure you guys write in and let us know. So first of all, with introductions, we'll start with Britt Lindgren. Go ahead and introduce yourself. We're going to talk about who you are, where you're from, and what school you go to, and that kind of cool stuff.
All right. And what year?
So hi, I'm Britt. I am second year in dental hygiene school at Portland Community College. I am originally from Olympia, Washington, but kind of moved around, settled here in Portland a couple of years ago, and was a teacher and then changed my career. Very happy I decided to do that.
All right. Sam Jocelyn Brown. I go to Trident Technical College. I grew up military, so most of my life I lived in Japan, and I was a dental assistant. This is like career progression, and I'm on a full scholarship with the Air Force. And
I probably should say that she's one of my students, so she's going to have great answers.
Yeah.
Ed, we're up to you.
Okay, so my name is Ed Fatton. I go to Concord Career College out here in San Diego, California. And I chose dental hygiene because I want to help people, and I think the ratio of student debt to income is something that was doable for me.
Mm-hmm. My name is Matt Saratola. I am attending Pima Medical Institute in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Born and raised here. I chose this profession just pretty much because I have family relations to it. My mom was a hygienist. I have a couple of aunts that are hygienists. My best friend's mom is a hygienist, so... It seemed like a good career that makes decent money.
Very good. All right. So let's take a second to talk about your actual facility where you attend school. So would you say it's modern or like a new remodel? Does it have, you know, the typical digital x-rays, or is it kind of old school with not so many of the luxuries of technology?
Well, we're kind of in the middle right now between old school and modern. We just did an update and got a lot of new ADEC material, so everyone's pretty excited about that. And all of our radiology rooms are now equipped with digital. We're still doing analog and kind of getting ready to move over to digital just because of some software stuff we're still trying to work out. So we're still fighting with the processors, but other than that, mm-hmm. I think we're pretty lucky. We've got a lot of newer equipment, newer technology, so pretty fortunate making the switch.
Very good. Well, it's an expensive switch, so sometimes it takes a little time. Jocelyn?
I think for us, we're in the middle. We're slowly converting into new technology. We do have digital x-rays. We still have the automatic processor, but it would be nice to get some better Cavitron. But other than that, I mean, our facility is pretty decent. We get the job done.
I can say that we just upgraded, I'd say, maybe 3 years ago, and it was really a lot worse about 4 or 5 years ago. So it's improved. Ed, how about you?
So the school that I'm at is about 5 years old, but I think that the machines are totally overused. We have a broken autoclave and a couple of broken chairs and a broken hydrant. And then I guess in the next 2 weeks they're attempting to do a bunch of maintenance at the school, but at the moment this is what we're dealing with. So we do have digital and we also have normal film, but for our requirements in the school, I would say 70% of our x-rays in the whole entire program have to be film, and then the other 30 is digital.
Yeah, I think our facility is about 5 years old. It seems pretty updated. We have digital x-rays, we have traditional, two different hand processors, good sterilization area. I think it's pretty modern compared to the other clinics that I've seen. I like it a lot.
So one thing I wanted to kind of jump in here and tell you guys, I think that, you know, whether your facility is newer or kind of older, you all have it pretty good. When I was in school, we did a switch where they're updating our equipment, they're updating the whole entire facility. And so as a senior, they kicked us out of our dental hygiene facility. We had to go across the street where they had renovated a bar, and we had 16 of our 18 chairs all in one room where all the power cords were going like feet to feet. And so we would have four rows total, and there would be four chairs and four chairs and four chairs and four chairs. And the patient's feet they pretty much play footsies with each other.
Oh my gosh.
We had one sink for our sterilization, and we had two chairs that were even outside of that area that were kind of all themselves that were walled off by, I think it was like a storage kind of shelving unit for some privacy. And then our patient intake area was pretty much non-existent. They didn't. There was nowhere for them to sit down or anything like that. And we had a very makeshift dark room in some sort of a closet, I think is what it was, for all of you that worked in food service before, it would be where you would store all your mops and everything like that, I think is what it was. And so I think that you guys all have it pretty good, to be honest. So probably not too much to complain about.
I was like, so Andrew just said, like, he walked up a hill every day to school without shoes on and in the snow. Like, this is when your kids complain.
No, both ways.
Both ways.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure that everybody understood what just happened.
Happy Andrew tell you guys as well. I don't know what. All right. The next question we have are about the courses that you're actually taking. So each of you guys are in a different state, actually, I believe, too. So we have two West Coasters, an Albuquerqueer, which I'm not really sure what to call you. You're not Midwest, but whatever you are, and an East Coaster. And so each state has some different rules and regulations, so I'm sure that they teach you guys different courses. So, and I want to ask about local anesthesia, if they teach those courses, and also about restorative, so placing fillings, composites, amalgams, whatever, to see if you guys actually learn about those. So we'll start with Britt.
Yeah, so we are doing our local anesthesia right now. We had our course last term, and then right now it's a lot of focus on patient care and getting ready for the boards. So we are doing that. And then restorative, we've been doing since the summer. Started off on, you know, typodonts, fake teeth, and then after that term, got into patient care, and we've done a couple of terms of patient care. But most of it is still on a typodont, kind of getting ready for the boards, and that's our focus. We are doing those courses, which is really cool. I'm super excited about it.
We did have a course on anesthesia. We are able to give infiltration, and we do get our experiences during clinic. As for restorative, I think at most we can do sealants, but we do rotations where we can either assist or watch dentists place things. We're allowed to place cords and cut sutures out and, you know, more of reversible things that we can do. But as for placing amalgams and stuff like that, no, we're not there.
Listen, I'm just happy South Carolina can give infiltration at all.
Yes. Yes.
But they can't get blocks is what I'm understanding.
No.
No.
No blocks.
But I'm going to tell you, I can get somebody numb with infiltration. Just as numb. I have given more infiltration during surgeries. Like, my doctors didn't anesthetize. I did it. I never gave a block. I'm talking sinus surgeries and serious giant bone grafts, implant placement. So I will say a lot about infiltration. I'm very good at it. Maybe that's what I want to say. All right, Ed, how about you?
So my school actually does do local anesthesia and restorative, but the restorative class, it's going to be in the next class that's going to graduate. So I guess it's starting in 2017, and I'm graduating this year. So they just, a few weeks ago, had us actually sign up for a continuing education course to take the restorative section. Now, in terms of local anesthesia, yeah, I mean, we're able to do everything. I actually, my first injection was on our partners, right? And my partner did not know that she was allergic to.
Oh no!
Yeah, enough said. She basically passed out, and we had a full blown medical emergency in our clinic, and that was the first one that they've ever had under my hand.
God. Oh no!
Yeah. You know, that was maybe 4 weeks ago. So,
real proud moment for you, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, you know, we are giving both infiltration and the blocks, but, you know, I don't know. I know that here there is an expanded function certificate, I guess. I know that maybe that is what the restorative is going to be using, but people that have that are going to be able to do the restorative. I'm not really too sure, but all that I know, it's going to be implemented in 2017 though.
How about you, Matt?
Yeah, well, I start my anesthesia class next semester in about 2 weeks, and so I know that we're allowed to administer it. I don't know. I've heard the different terms thrown around, the block and infiltration or whatever you guys have been saying. I don't know all about it yet. I know I'm able to do it after I'm done with school, but I'll be learning that in about a month or so. As far as restorative, I'm not aware that we have any restorative classes. I mean, I'm taking biomaterials, but that's they don't teach me how to place it. You know, they tell me what to do, the sequence, but we don't practice placing it. I don't think I'm going to be placing any of those restorations. I'm not planning on it so far. I might be in for a surprise, but as far as I'm concerned, I don't deal with any of that.
So I'm sorry, did you guys mention why you don't do blocks? Did I just miss? I'm curious about that.
I don't know specifically for South Carolina, but I'm going to go ahead and assume it's because it's a good old boys club and they have to keep us down somehow.
Yeah.
And I would probably actually like to add that you're just backwoodsy. And maybe it's...
Hey, Andrew, this is why you get things in the video that are obscene. I give you middle fingers all the time.
Thank you, Ryan.
So one thing I should add is even though we are capable of doing restorative, I still kind of sense some pushback. Like I was talking to a doctor the other day, and he was saying, I would never, ever let my hygienist place a restoration for me. And that really shocked me, because as far as I know, we've been doing it for a while, and so I didn't expect that. And I've had doctors really happy with the restoration for me place, so we still get pushback for it, even though we're able to do it.
Well, I think that's a pretty much across the board, honestly, it really depends on the dentist. And I actually was just speaking with another hygienist about this. And I think, you know, the problem is that doctors don't understand our education and our background and our skill level. And they probably don't even realize that we do have all the anatomy and physiology, the micro, the organic chem, mm-hmm. all of that comes with our prerequisites, and then you add our 16 months of clinical skills. And, you know, sometimes I want to push back and say, I wouldn't trust you scaling my patient. I mean, how many hours do you put in dental school and clinical scaling of, you know, teeth? And you're technically licensed to, you know, scale and root plane, and you have the skill level behind it. So I think one day it will come where we as a profession are all taking the same classes. So, you know, we're all in our anatomy classes. We're in all of our micro classes. We are in, you know, our chem classes. And then we just split off and go into our respective specialties. And with that,
hold on.
Let's see if that's better. Sorry. Is that better now?
Yeah.
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 Man, I was on a soapbox too. I'm lost it. I don't even know. Lost it. Damn it. And we lost Matt too. Just so. Matt is offline at the moment. So let's move on to, because I'll get all worked up. Let's talk about your favorite class and really why. So, you know, you're taking your restoratives, you're taking your dental materials, you're, maybe advanced instrumentation, things like that. What is your favorite class and what you get excited about in your program?
Oh, man. I mean, I guess, does clinical count? Are we counting clinical?
Yeah, everything. I
would say that's my favorite, when we actually get to use everything we're learning and get in there and clean and do the injections and, you know, combine that with the restorative. That's my favorite. It's really painful to be sitting in a lecture class for, gosh, I think we've got eight hours of lecture one day. Of course, that's what you're using in your clinical, but just actually getting to get in there and get dirty and do the work is the best part of it. Aside from that, I think the restorative, I love doing the restorative. It's a pain in the, am I allowed to swear?
Yeah.
It's a pain in the ass sometimes. I mean, you like leave wanting to tear your hair out, but it's really cool. It's probably my favorite after clinical.
Yeah, I'd have to say clinical now. The first spring semester was no fun. I mean, I was using a saliva ejector to show hand movement, so I wasn't too interested in that. But I'd say clinical now, combining everything we've learned in conjunction with oral path, because I like oral path. I mean, I don't like finding it in my patients, but when I can pretty much putting the room in the clinical setting is pretty cool. And being able to identify and know exactly what I'm looking at, it all makes sense, and it's like an achievement. It makes sense.
The aha moment.
Yes, the light bulb has turned on.
Yeah, so definitely my clinical courses, and I've had a bunch of aha moments for sure. I think everything that we use in lecture gets put together, and you actually see it, whether it's on your patients or instrumentation, and from there things actually stick versus, you know, you're learning what the toe is, but if you're not actually applying why you should be using the taper 1/3, right? If you're not learning why you're doing that, you're not going to actually remember it.
This is probably true. And sadly, Matt has dropped off. I think he's had some internet issues. So I'm going to go ahead and combine that question with your favorite teacher and why. And Jocelyn, this is no obligation to say myself, but who would be your favorite instructor and why?
Yeah, is Jocelyn going to get in trouble if she...
No. Well, to be fair, Jocelyn has actually only had me for like 4 weeks right now because I only teach the senior students. So that would not be fair to even say my name because I have not been with her since the day she started. So there's a lot of great instructors at our program too.
So that's a really hard question, actually, for me to answer, because the main teachers, instructors that I've been with are so incredibly different. I think I don't really have a favorite. I love them all because they complement each other really well. So the instructor, Sandy Curran, was my instructor for most of first year. And, of course, I have a lot of other instructors, but I'd say Sandy Curran, Kara Cao Young, and I think Linda Monroe. they all have really different styles that complement each other really nicely. Kara is very much about real world, practical application of what we're learning. Sandy was just really organized, helpful, and Linda is kind of like a you know, no bull, this is what you got to do, suck it up, I love you so much, but get it done, kind of instructor. So I think those three kind of came together and really, really helped us all to get through the last couple of years. So I don't think I could pick a favorite out of my instructors.
Utah?
I'm kind of on the same plane as you are with favorites. I mean, my first semester and summer semester, it's a turnover of new instructors. My first spring semester, all of my instructors pretty much retired. And then that's exactly what happened. They brought us in, and then halfway through, we ended up with new instructors who went through the same program. And I think each person brings something. Each of my instructors have challenged me, even though there are some days it's a struggle to smile and really, but it's all constructive criticism, and I know they have great intentions, and they're only pushing you to be better. So I'd say they've all equally impacted me, including you, Ms. Strange, because there are things that you have taught me that it's a learning experience every day, every clinic, and right now about 24 hours a week of clinic, so it's I'm burnt out after Tuesday, but it's still good.
So the structure of Concord is, I think, or I'm not sure if it's the same, but we have a lot of part-time instructors and maybe one or two full-time instructors. The part-time instructors, I don't, you know, it's hard to make a connection with them other if they're in clinic with us. My favorite teacher is one of the full-time faculty, and her name is Miriam Delaroy, and she's actually one of the reasons why I stayed in the dental hygiene program. I had actually gotten accepted to a dental school, and I decided to stick with this. So for me, I really kind of have a lot in terms of passion for dental hygiene at the moment, and she's been a big inspiration, and I think she always will be. She's really been by my side.
So we're going to jump to the next question. We're going to combine Anya's list number 6 and 7, probably. One, do you have to find your own patients? And two, how concerned are you with taking your boards?
Oh my gosh, thanks. we don't have to find our own patients. Thank God. I don't know what I'd do if we had to do that. We have an administrator who schedules patients for new patient screenings and then assigns the patients to us. We're responsible for scheduling them, for getting them into the clinic. Now, as far as board patients, if we're talking about board patients, that's kind of different. We can find the patients through the school, or we can find them somewhere else and get them to come in. So, but normally, no, we don't have to do that. And boards, I've got my first one next week. Well, not my first one, my first clinical next weekend. And going through ups and downs of nervous and then feeling like it's okay, everything's going to be fine, and then severe downs, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? Everything's going to go wrong, you know, so... I think I'm really lucky because I actually met somebody who was a board examiner, and she said to me, you know, we know you can do it. We're just there to watch you do what you've been doing over and over again in clinics. So that remembering that she said that to me really helps me to kind of go into it in a calmer space. So, but I'm sure that'll be different tomorrow.
Go ahead, Ed.
Which exam are you taking?
I'm taking my anesthesia clinical on Sunday, okay. Next Sunday.
Okay. And then you guys there, it's not REB, right? What's the name of the association there?
It's REB. I think it is REB.
It's REB?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys have clinicals or an exam for anesthesia? Is it like a written board? Oh, okay.
So the written, we had our written in... Gosh, I think in January I had mine, and that was just like a one-hour exam at a testing center, and then next week is where we go in and we actually sit. We've got an orientation, a tour of the clinic, And then we sit for the exams, and we have two examiners that are watching all of the technique and everything. So.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A little nerve-wracking.
So that, I guess you doing that in clinic isn't good enough? I mean, with a teacher watching you?
That's a great question. I think a lot of people are talking about, you know.
Well, I think that could be said as a whole, actually, for all clinical boards,
mm-hmm.
sadly.
Well, you know, we're also doing blocks over here, so you actually need real oversight.
Listen,
not just Andrew, infiltration.
I would put my infiltration up against your block, guaranteed.
All right, it's on.
And I'm talking even a mandible. Lower left, we're going to block patients at our mission trip, and we're going to see who gets them number.
Okay, number. Right. That's the word. Okay, we'll do extraction of thirds, and we'll see who can get more profound anesthesia.
Okay, then we can do a sinus lift and see who gets them number. Number.
In Uganda. What we do?
As for our patients, we have a great administrator. Ms. Whaley pretty much books our patients. Now we do have to still find our patients, but she's been doing a great job. I haven't really had to look for or scavenge the hallways for a patient unless my patient decides they're not going to show up. But so far it's been pretty good. Board patients, we're out shopping for those.
Mm-hmm.
Still shopping for that. And I think that's pretty much the hardest part, is finding someone with qualifying calculus.
Yeah, because that's the thing. And, you know, even as an instructor, when it comes to finding a board patient and helping your student find a board patient, it is it's nerve-wracking for us because we don't want to say, yeah, this is a good one, and then all of a sudden we hear that they didn't have enough qualifying pieces of calculus, and that's happened before, and it breaks our heart. It kills us because we, you know, our students trust us and our judgment, and it is really sad. So, okay, Ed, how about you?
Well, I have a question first for both of the girls. So do the patients pay or no? Do the patients have to pay?
For our mock board and our board, no.
In the clinic.
Pay for treatment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Same. Our patients pay, but it's all at a reduced price.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're given a certain number of vouchers to cover the whole time that we're there, and we can use them kind of as we see fit.
Oh, that's actually a great idea. So you get like a few vouchers, and if you have somebody that needs treatment and they don't maybe have the finances, you can give that voucher out?
Exactly. So you can use it for somebody who maybe needs a little help, or if you have a family member, sometimes that's, you know, they aren't mutually exclusive. So, yeah, you can kind of just see, you know, who needs it and hand them out as you would like.
Our director has changed things. Family members for us are free. If you're a full-time student, treatment, your pro fee is free, but everything else you'd have to pay for. But she's also open on discussion for payment because, you know, we do see patients that are, you know, in need and can't really afford. Even at a reduced price, we can't even afford. But we just have to talk with her. She's been really nice, open door policy, and a lot, you know, if we see the need and they're able to even pay just a little bit, she waived the prices for some.
Is that the same with your clinic, Ed? Or
no, so we actually, I have to find my own patients, and they do have to pay, and the services that are outside of cleaning, they're also responsible for. So what ends up happening, that this hasn't happened to me yet, but it has happened to my classmates, they've had to pay for the patients. And it's a very big deal. The reason why I was asking the both of you guys is because I am attempting with my school to kind of change things, you know, with the resistance of my PD or whatnot. But yeah, back to, you know, to the actual question. So basically what I've been doing is using Facebook ads and trying to find my own patients. And then in terms of actually taking my boards, I think our school really prepares us, whether it's for the clinical aspect or the national boards. Our last term is 100% focused on those two things. And they bring in people from, I guess, San Francisco and different educational institutes that provide courses for that. But, you know, but obviously you have to pay for that, right? So
how about you, Matt?
Yeah, we have to find all of our patients. They do have to pay. It's not expensive. I think it's $19.95 for a pro fee, and that includes the dental exam, the x-rays, all that stuff. It does cost extra for fluoride treatment. For if you're doing NSPT, that's like $60 a quad, I think, and all the patients have to pay that out of their pocket. It's happened to me a few times where I've had to pay for my patients this semester, and I guess it just adds another stress. Like when I went out to Arizona for one of the upperclassmen's board exams, I was her patient for anesthesia, and we went out to Carrington College to their clinic, and they don't have to find any of their patients. They all just come to the clinic. The patients don't have to pay. It sounded so nice. I was like, what? You guys really don't have to find anybody. You don't have to go beg random strangers to pick at their teeth. It's just $20. Come on, let me do it, man. Yeah, it's really difficult. But I mean, since I've grown up in Albuquerque, I have a lot of friends and family here, so that makes it a lot more easy than some of the other students that have moved from Maine or from California to attend this program. I just don't understand how they're going to be able to find all these patients, and that ends up being one of the main reasons why people fail out of a program is because they can't find enough patients, or they can't find a certain type of patient. Like this semester, I was struggling to find my last class 3 perio patient, and I could not find one. And 2 weeks ago, I finally found him, and I'm just hoping he finishes his treatment with me and doesn't back out, because he decides that he doesn't want to come back for one appointment, and I'm done. So that's just another stress, I feel like. Board examinations, I feel like they're going to – my PIMA is really good with getting students prepared, it seems like. All the upperclassmen seem like they're prepared and they're ready for it. They're nervous. You know, I think everybody's – I think I'm going to be nervous. It was kind of freaking me out when I was the anesthesia board patient, and my upperclassman is coming in and her hands shaking, like getting ready to inject me. I'm like, oh, no, just take a breather. You're going to be fine. I don't want you to miss. And sure enough, her first attempt, she just straight into my bone. I'm like, ah! Okay, first attempt. You have one more attempt left. So two more attempts.
Oh, my God.
Oh, gosh, that's going to be me, man.
Take a deep breath.
Exactly. Just breathe. It'll be okay.
Exactly. Yep.
No one can hear what you're saying, Michelle.
God, can you hear me now?
Yep.
Yes.
I think it's the microphone. It's not the wine. It's the microphone.
For me, go ahead.
What?
making more work for me. Go ahead.
This is what I do for you, Andrew. So just to sum this all up, because, you know, you have your favorite classes and we all have our what we can do in our states, like block versus infiltration. But with your schooling and your education and the skill sets that you've learned within your school, do you feel like you are prepared for the real world?
Oh, man, that's a really good question. Yeah, absolutely. I was kind of, you know, sorry, I forget if it was Ed or Matt was saying, I feel prepared. I feel like my school really gets us ready, gears us up, and we're just spending most of this time focusing on that, on the boards. I feel like they do that for us, but they also do get us ready for the real world as well. It's not just board focus. They know that we're going to have to be able to get out there and practice and hit the ground running as soon as we graduate. So, yeah, I think that they've done a really good job getting us ready. And we do rotations, and we're really fortunate. We've actually been going to OHSU and working with the dental students. And so that's something that I feel like has really helped us to go a step further and be even more prepared. Because it's the kind of experience we don't get in our clinic. So, yeah. Sorry, that was a little long, but...
No, that's good.
Definitely.
I agree. You know, my instructors are pretty much preparing us for real world. Anytime we enter our clinics, especially with patients, because it is kind of like real world. The only difference is we won't have our instructors there. And I just think the challenges that they bring to us as we are in clinic and their expectations are a lot more strict than what I've seen on rotations. So I think the instructors and the hygiene program itself has really prepared me, at least, for real world. At least I better be prepared.
Yeah, I mean, definitely the school prepares us for whether it's the board or the real world. But I think for me personally, I'm never going to forget adapt, 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 turn, turn, turn. You know, these are things that haunt me at night in my dreams and will always haunt me.
How about you, Matt?
Yeah, I feel they definitely prepare me. They over-prepare us. It just seems like it's so much detail, so much stuff we have to do, just like this, just like that, don't do this. It's so much more strict than any of the actual real-world offices that I've seen. I've been around dental offices my whole life just because my mom was a hygienist and my aunts were hygienists and all my friends. It was weird. It was just like, I'm meant to be a hygienist, I guess. I've been in an office my entire life, and it's never been like how it is in my clinic. It's so crazy with the sterilization, gloves on for this, gloves off for that. Don't touch this, don't touch that. I think I already feel prepared, and I'm only halfway through. I can't imagine. I think I'm gonna be feeling on top of the world after this next year.
Wow, that's actually really great to hear from all of you, because, you know, as an instructor, we want to make sure that we are teaching you something you're going to use, and so it's nice to hear that. And sadly, we are going to split this into two, because you guys had so many great things to say regarding our questions, so we're going to call this part one of the student roundtable, and thank you guys for taking the time and dealing with all of our technical difficulties. But
yes, sorry, everybody.
No, it happens to Andrew and I pretty much on the regular, I would say. Yeah.
Okay.
But thank you, and we look forward to having you again, and keep working hard.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, that was for Andrew.
Okay, I was like, wow, that's coming in hot.
like that, Matt.
That's what you get for putting your opinion out there in public.
Okay.
Sorry.
Ouch.
I'll edit that part out. Don't worry. Well, it's not an audio. It's not.
See, this is how I control my language. I just do sign language now.
Sign language. I want to
let you know that's your instructor, by the way.
It's awesome.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
I'm drinking wine. I can't be held accountable.
All right. And Brent actually has something constructive to say in a second.